Friends, as you go about your day, what captures your attention? Is it your work, a relationship, video games, or perhaps entertainment? Consider this. 2,000 years ago, a group of men stood on the Mount of Olives, staring into the sky. They had just watched Jesus ascend into a cloud, and they couldn't look away. And as they were gazing up, two angels appeared and asked these men a pointed question. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you've watched him go into heaven. And we know he is coming back to the exact same location on the Mount of Olives. That promise is what Bible prophecy has been building toward ever since. Well, welcome to Christ in Prophecy Radio. I'm Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lamb & Lion Ministries, and I'm here as always with Nathan Jones, our Internet Evangelist. Together, we hope to capture your attention as we look forward to the soon return and the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's right, Tim. We've arrived at that most anticipated event in our Bible prophecy chart series. We've described the church age, the rapture, the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments, the war in heaven, the rise of the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and the fall of Babylon. Each of those events is staggering on its own, but every one of these has been pointing us to a single climatic moment when heaven splits open and Jesus Christ returns in power and glory.
You know, Zechariah 14:9 describes this event, saying, "The Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name, the only one." Friends, that day is coming, and we're going to walk through it together today.
And as we've emphasized throughout this series, there's just simply way too much material in these final chapters of Revelation to put into one single program. That's why we strongly encourage you to visit our website at christinprophecy.org. You'll find extended teachings and additional resources there as well. Now let's get started with an in-depth look at the greatest event in human history, the return of the King.
If someone could tell you with absolute certainty what would happen in the future, wouldn't you want to hear it? Bible prophecy does just that. It's 100% accurate. God has perfectly fulfilled every prophecy about the Lord's first coming, and he will fulfill everything he said about his imminent return. On Christ in Prophecy, Tim Moore and Nathan Jones examine God's Word and reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning to those who don't know him yet. Let's take God at his word. Find out what God has revealed when you visit christinprophecy.org and tell us how Bible prophecy has impacted your faith when you get in touch at christinprophecy.org/contact.
Well, when we left off in our series following the outpourings of God's wrath, known as the Bowl Judgments, we talked about the ungodly world system referred to in Revelation as Babylon, that is fallen. There was great lamenting on the earth, but as we discovered, rejoicing in heaven. So now we're going to open to Revelation 19, where heaven erupts in a fourfold hallelujah, and in these next few verses, we read that the church, the bride of Christ, is gathered and prepared for the anticipated return of Christ. Now, Nathan, even as I say that in our introduction, I talked about us looking forward to the soon return of Christ, and that yet that is contrasted with the second coming of Christ. So what do we mean by those phrases?
Well, the Bible distinguishes two returns, or I should say two phases of one return of Christ, the second coming of Christ. He's coming for his saints in the rapture of the church before he pours out his judgment on the earth during a seven-year tribulation period. But at the end of that period, he's coming back with his saints to defeat evil and set up his kingdom and rule and reign over this earth. So there's a big difference between the first phase of his second coming, which is the rapture of the church, compared to the second coming at the end of the tribulation.
Yeah, I'm really glad you point that out, because what we are looking forward to in the soon return of Christ is his rapture of the church. In other words, all who have put trust in him during this church age being gathered, the dead in Christ rising first, and we who are alive being captured up together with them in the sky to meet the Lord. But what are we going to do during that period between the rapture of the church and the glorious second coming when we return with him? In other words, what do we have to look forward to in heaven, Nathan?
Well, there's three things that we have to look forward to. One is called the judgment of the just, which we've covered in other previous sections of the series. And then that's report card time, Tim. That's where the Lord will give out the rewards for the work that the Holy Spirit did through his children while during this church age.
What we've called the Bema Seat judgment, if you will.
Yeah, Bema is kind of the technical term, but yeah, Jesus Christ will sit on his throne and he will rule and reign from heaven and judge the church for its works and give us our rewards. We're talking about white robes and new names. I'm not going to be called Nathan anymore. You're not going to be Tim. We'll be whatever the Lord decides based on character. We'll get seats of authority in his coming kingdom. And so that's the first thing that will happen. But the second thing will happen is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And folks, you can find that. We're going to focus here on Revelation chapter 19, but we're going to pick up in verses 6 through 10.
Yeah, in verse 6, obviously John, seeing what is happening in heaven, says he heard something like the voice of a great multitude and like the sound of many waters and the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." And then the church, all the saints gathered there, cry out, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her," the bride obviously, "to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, obviously John hearing from someone who's escorting him around heaven, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God."
So what we have here, folks, is that the Lord has got a great celebratory party. It's like a family reunion. All who've been saved from Pentecost to the rapture will be at this great feast. It says there'll be guests. I believe the guests are the Old Testament saints. And we will celebrate. The Lord loves celebrations. And it's kind of like a marriage ceremony where the Lord is spiritually reunited with his church. So we'll enjoy that as well. There's a little addendum here in verse 10 where John so overwhelmed emotionally. He sees this angel and just he falls down to start worshiping him. And the angel says, "Don't do that. I am a fellow slave with you and your brothers who have the witness of Jesus." And this is key here. It says, "Worship God, for the witness or testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
Amen.
Tim, I love this verse because there's so many people who look at prophecy, even though it's 31% of the Bible, and say, it's unimportant or just too confusing. But here it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Folks, prophecy comes from our Lord Jesus.
It certainly does. And the entire book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he chose to reveal what the Lord God the Father had shown to him to us, his bondservants, through his servant John. Now, I have to ask a brief aside, Nathan. This marriage supper, do you think we'll actually be feasting and eating food as you would imagine a supper here on earth?
Well, some people confuse that when we get to heaven, that we will be in these ghostly bodies, we'll be floating around, and somehow these ghostly bodies can play harps. It's a lie meant to make heaven seem boring. The Bible promises that during the rapture of the church, we will be put in our resurrected, eternal, glorified bodies. Tim, that's those super bodies, those 25-year-old or so bodies that we've been waiting for, that can't get sick, that don't die, that are full of energy. The sin nature is gone. And so absolutely, yes, we are told to look at Jesus' resurrected body as the template for ours. And what did Jesus do? He ate with the apostles. You know, for us Southern Baptists, we love eating. So it's so good to know that we'll be able to eat in heaven.
It certainly is. And so I look forward to that day and that time period. We don't know if that's going to be a seven-year supper, as some have speculated, or what period of time, but we know that it will be a sumptuous feast and it will be a time of great joy. But that is only anticipating a great joy that is coming when we return to the earth at the second coming of Christ along with him. And that's described in Revelation 19, 11 through 16. I think this moment is so important, Nathan, that instead of rushing through it, we ought to save it for our next segment.
Absolutely. Because folks, this is the third big thing that happens while the world is suffering through the tribulation on earth and many, many people are getting saved. Praise the Lord. In heaven, the saints are enjoying a celebration with God and we're preparing to return with him at his second coming. Well, the king is returning, folks, and the bride is getting ready and waiting for that supper. And so what happens next? We're going to cover that in a next segment, what's called What's Really Going On. Stay tuned.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never fail. As you listen to Christ in Prophecy each week, we'll explain what God has revealed in his prophetic word. Join us as together we look forward to his imminent return. To listen to more programs and to hear more hope for the future, go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. I'm Nathan Jones. I'm here with Tim Moore. And we're going to look at Revelation 1:7, because, folks, the second coming of Christ is described actually in Revelation 19, but earlier in Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he," Jesus, "is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen." Well, Tim, how is this possible?
Boy, Nathan, this is one of those mystery verses that for many years, even decades and centuries, Christians would have been scratching their heads and trying to spiritualize this vision that the whole world has of the Lord coming. Now, it is very possible that they could all see him with their own eyes, somehow supernaturally. We know that his coming will be like lightning striking from the east to the west. In other words, he will flash in an instant. But we also know he's coming to a specific location there in Israel, to the Mount of Olives. And so we have the ability, through modern technology, to have a perspective that our forebears could not. We recognize that right now you can aim a camera at any event that's happening in the world, beam that signal around the world by satellite technology or cable technology, and everyone can watch simultaneously and instantaneously. So it's that kind of technology that might come into play where all the world is focused on this battle that's taking place. You can imagine CNN covering the Iraq war years ago, or today all the media covering the Iran war. And in that moment, when the whole world's focused on this battle in Jerusalem, the Lord returns and they all see him.
Yeah, that's one of the wonderful things about Bible prophecy, folks, is that the Lord has given us signs of the times that we can look out to that point to his soon return. And one of them is the sign of technology. There are so many signs of technology that the Bible prophesies. For instance, if we go back to Daniel 12:4, where Daniel, the prophet, was scratching his head. He didn't understand what that angel had told him. And the angel says, just close up the book and go your own way, Daniel. There's three things that need to happen for you to understand the end times. One, a great increase in knowledge. And folks, certainly we're seeing that today with computer technology and the internet. Two, a great increase in travel. You know, you think about it, over 100 years ago, most people didn't even leave their towns. And if they did, they did on horses. Now we're rocketing up to the moon again. So those two things, but also three, a great increase in understanding of Bible prophecy as these signs unfold.
Yeah, really, we have the blessing of hindsight, as I like to say, because we can see so many signs, Nathan, that have been fulfilled over the past 2,000 years. For instance, as we've observed, 150 years ago, Christians who anticipated the Lord fulfilling his promises to Israel to regather them on the promised land mountains of Israel could only trust that he would bring that great event to pass. Mm-hmm. We know that it has come to pass over these last 100 years. And so we can see with hindsight. But right now, right before our eyes, we can see Bible prophecies being fulfilled and some of the technologies that allow the whole world to look upon two witnesses in the streets of Jerusalem to see the Lord's return as he comes in glory with his saints, with us. Those things are capable of happening through all the technology that has come about just in the last century.
And it's not just technology, folks, but the Lord also has another category of signs, which is world politics. The Bible prophesies in the end times that the world will divide into 10 regions, and then a ruler will rise up, overthrow three of those regions, and be set up as king of the earth. We call this the Antichrist. And folks, we've been seeing, especially in the last 25 to 50 years, a big push towards globalism, a one-world government, and many nations calling out that the world needs a one-world ruler to unite it. And folks, this is playing out exactly as prophecy foretold.
Yeah, it really is, Nathan. And the other thing that's playing out is an increase in skepticism. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the people who deny the promise of a millennial reign of Jesus Christ, or they deny the reality of the rapture being a promise given to the saints of the church, so many people, even within the church, are scoffing. Where is the promise of his return, as 2 Peter talks about? And so we are seeing this rise in heresy and apostasy. And as faithful followers of Christ, as we've said, we simply have to read his word and take him at his word. And then the promises that he has given to us, just like all the others, are yes and amen.
And that's why we call Israel the super sign. Another category, as Tim talked about, especially on the focus of the world on Jerusalem. Who's going to control it? Well, the Jews, the Arabs, the UN, the Vatican, everybody wants to control Jerusalem because, as Zechariah prophesied, Jesus Christ will return and rule and reign from Jerusalem. Well, folks, this is a lot to cover, so to better understand the timeline of Revelation events, request a copy of our End Times Bible Prophecy Chart. It gives you a great chronological visual display of end times. You can get it as a smaller bifold or a full-size prophecy chart. Check it out on our website, ChristInProphecy.org. That's ChristInProphecy.org.
People are desperately searching for answers online, and there are many voices trying to get their attention. At Christ in Prophecy, we point people to God's Word. It's the only source that is 100% reliable from the beginning to the end times. To help us teach others about Bible prophecy, please consider making a generous donation to support this ministry. We rely on the fervent prayers and sacrificial giving of fellow believers to continue broadcasting Christ in Prophecy on TV, radio, and online. The Bible has already revealed what we need to know. Help us share the truth with others by giving today at ChristInProphecy.org/donate.
Well, Nathan, today we've been discussing the second coming of Jesus Christ, the glorious second coming when he returns to the earth. And in our first segment today, we talked about some of the things that will happen while we're in heaven, that being the marriage supper of the Lamb and being prepared to return with him. But now, I'd like to get to the culmination that we've all been looking forward to when Jesus Christ himself returns to earth to reign from the throne of his father David. Where do we find text that supports this anticipation?
This is what I would like to call the penultimate event of the whole Bible. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16 read, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and has a name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." You know, Tim, this isn't the baby Jesus lying in the manger. This isn't the suffering servant dying on the cross. This is Jesus Christ in his full divinity.
It certainly is, but we see the sacrifice he made. His robe is dipped in blood, and you have to imagine part of that is his blood. Well, we know he's going to slaughter his enemies here in a moment, but he is bearing the scars, if you will, of the nails that were imprinted on his hands and his feet, and yet he's coming in majesty and in glory. And we know this is Christ because John calls him the Word of God. And if you go back to John chapter 1, verse 1, he records, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is Jesus Christ in his glory. And yet, he is not coming alone. In other words, who's he bringing with him?
He's bringing with him the saints, folks. This is the third thing that the Christians are doing up in heaven. We are preparing to return with Jesus. The Bible says that we will have fine robes, white and pure, which represent our purity because the Lord gave it to us. Our works are represented. We get white horses, and we trail behind Jesus Christ, who's riding his majestic war charger, and we follow Jesus back down to the earth at his second coming. You know, Tim, there are 500 general prophecies in the Old Testament, and one in every 25 verses in the New Testament prophesy this second coming. It's the biggest event in all the Bible. And I think, folks, that's why Tim and I are so excited about this, because this is what the church has been waiting for 2,000 years, Jesus Christ to defeat evil and set up his kingdom.
We certainly do look forward to this. Every time I stand on the Mount of Olives with a group of pilgrims, I read from this passage, and you just touched on verse 14 from Revelation 19, but picking up in verse 15, it says, "From his mouth, from Jesus' mouth, comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of Psalm 24, when those ancient gates and ancient doors will open up that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty and strong. And this is Jesus Christ. But he comes to wield a sword and to tread the nations and really to pour out the fierce wrath of God. So this brings us to the next event.
Folks, this is what we call the Battle of Armageddon. It's not Bruce Willis going up in outer space to blow up a meteor. It is the battle of all battles, but we're going to learn that it's not quite a battle. So what happens here is, according to verse 19, the beast, which is the Antichrist, the kings of the earth and their armies, assemble in the Valley of Jezreel, which is in Israel, to make war against Jesus Christ. In other words, Satan knows that Jesus is coming, so he gathers every able-bodied person left alive on the planet, brings them all to Israel to make one last stand against Jesus. And this is where we get Zechariah 14:3. It says, "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, and that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives," that same place where Jesus ascended from. But Tim, this is a battle unlike any battle that we've ever read, right? Who does all the fighting here?
Yeah, all the fighting is done by Jesus, and he doesn't actually use a sword in a clash of arms. In other words, he simply speaks a word, that sword that's coming out of his mouth, sharper than a two-edged sword, and that is what slays his foes. And you mentioned that Valley of Jezreel. So the Valley of Jezreel is the fertile plain there that stretches essentially from Jerusalem up to the northwest. Back in Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 through 16, the author John talks about the gathering of armies of the world in the valley that is known by the place in Hebrew called Harmageddon. There is still an ancient city, a tell, that is called Megiddo, and the plain surrounding it is the Valley of Megiddo or Harmageddon. And so it's the same thing, Valley of Jezreel, Valley of Armageddon. These armies have gathered to fight against the Antichrist, but they're all in rebellion against Jesus Christ. And so when he comes, just with the breath of his mouth, he slays them and he sets up his kingdom by reigning on the throne of his father David there on Mount Zion, defeating not only those gathered armies, but the beast or Antichrist and the false prophet, and consigning them to the lake of fire.
Yeah, we read that in chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. It's an epic battle, but it's really no battle at all because Jesus does all the fighting. And this is not the marriage supper of the Lamb, but the great supper of God. It's a great supper of judgment where the birds feast on God's enemies.
Folks, we recognize that this is horrific, and this is something that Scripture talks about because it is the justice and wrath of God being poured out on those who have rejected Jesus Christ, which is why we call on everyone within the sound of our voice through the radio waves today to turn away from the wrath to come, repent while there is time, and accept the gift of salvation, the grace and mercy of God, so that you do not have to be subjected to his wrath, but you can come into his kingdom and literally look forward to his rapture of the church into an everlasting life with him.
Amen. Well, the second coming of Jesus is going to be a global event witnessed by his enemies, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan, as well as all those who love the Lord and will be raised to join him on that battlefield of Armageddon. And we're going to watch Jesus put his foot down on the Mount of Olives. He's going to defeat his enemies. And then we get to the last chapter of Revelation, which repeats that wonderful promise first given in chapter 1, that there's a blessing for everyone who reads and heeds the things written in the book of Revelation. Understanding Revelation, folks, doesn't require an advanced seminary degree, but it does require believing faith, faithful study in the illumination of the Holy Spirit. To expand your study, please visit us on our website at christinprophecy.org or download our Lamb and Lion app. Well, Tim's going to return in just a minute with a final word of encouragement.
Swipe away the endless bad news and open up our Lamp Lighter magazine to discover your blessed hope. Our bi-monthly magazine sheds God's light on today's headlines through powerful articles written by men and women who love God and His Word. Find out what's really happening and how you can have hope in Christ. The Lamplighter magazine is available in print, email, and downloadable formats. Request your copy when you go to christinprophecy.org.
I opened today's program by asking what captures your attention. You know, we're surrounded by distractions, whether it's work, entertainment, or just the noise of daily life. Revelation 20:11 talks about how when the Lord finally reigns, even heaven and earth will flee away from him and no place will be found for them. In other words, all the distractions that would compete with the glory of God will be fled away from his presence. Folks, right now, we are standing on the brink of an eternity as we await the return of Jesus Christ. Yes, his return for the church and then his return in glory to reign on the earth. Today, we've examined Scripture to understand how these promises will be fulfilled. Jesus will descend on a white horse, faithful and true, with his saints behind him. He will speak a word, and his enemies will be destroyed. Zechariah tells us his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, the very spot from which he ascended, and the angel's promise will be kept to the letter. That's really the theme of Bible prophecy. God keeps his promises. The promise to Jesus, that he will reign from the throne of his father David. The promise to Israel, that their Messiah will deliver them. The promise to Satan, that he will be crushed. and the promise to every believer and follower in Jesus Christ that where He is, we will be also. As Peter wrote, "We have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place." Every prophecy that has been fulfilled was fulfilled literally and precisely, so we can trust that every prophecy yet to come will be fulfilled in the same way. So I ask you again, what captures your attention? If you have not placed your trust in Jesus Christ, do not delay. Confess your need for a Savior and place your faith in the One who died and rose again. Revelation 3:20 promises, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." If you already belong to Him, then fix your gaze where those disciples fixed theirs, upwards. One day soon, we will see Him return just as He promised. Until then, Godspeed.